Hi, Chag Sameach. Hope everybody is having an amazing Pesach, had great Sadarim, and is finding it meaningful. Hopefully, you didn't eat too much, but whatever it is, there's so much spiritual food as well. So, we have, of course, so much we could potentially talk about. So, again, this is Yisachar Wartel, and we are not doing a Parsha this week. We are doing a Pesach Kvar. That's right. We did kind of one a little bit last Thursday, but certainly this one is all about Pesach and much more. We are going to be reading Shir HaShirim this coming Shabbos, which is what I've written about in my written Dvar this week. That'll be out very shortly. But there's a lot of other things that have to tie in with Shira. Obviously, the whole concept of Shira, it ties into Az Yashir, which we have towards the end of Pesach, the seventh day, the culmination of Pesach, when they are leaving Mitzrayim. And they go out, the Mitzrayim is starting to chase them, they're at their back, they cry to Hashem. Hashem hears them. Nachshon goes in, as the final test, and then Shalom Yisrael. It's amazing. There's a lot of amazing, amazing nisim and the flows. They see so much. They say even the lowliest maidservant saw the highest, highest level of Nevuah. It's incredible. So after Hashem has split the Yamsuf and Bnei Yisrael has walked through on dry land, they see that the Egyptians are no more, and they see the clear miracles that Hashem has saved them. This prompts the prophetic song of Az Yashir. And at the conclusion of the song, Miriam, the sister of Moshe and Aaron, appears on the scene and leads the women to sing, dance, and praise Hashem, as Pasuk states, "V'tikach Miriam ha-Neviya achot Aaron et ha-tof biyada, v'tetzena et kol ha-nashim achareha batupim u'machot." And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the drum in her hand, and she went out with all of the women, following with her with their drums and her mecholot. Now, mecholot is a very interesting word, but is usually translated either as timbrels or alternatively as dancing, depending on the commentary. Not going to get into some of that debate right now. But what is striking is actually the drum, a tof. So, first of all, there's a question of why the drum is there. There's many different commentaries about that. We're going to mostly put that aside. But what's interesting, it's hatof. Why is it the drum? If she had a drum, then, or women had drums, like, why don't you just say a drum? Like, just tof. Why is it hatof, the drum? So Rashi, based on the Mechilta, addresses that Miriam and the Jewish women were so confident in Hashem's salvation that it was going to occur that they prepared drums in advance to celebrate when they would be freed from Mitzrayim. The Sfas Emes, therefore, refers to this drum as a kli miyuchedet, a special vessel. So it was the drum that Miriam had prepared because she had absolute bitachon that Hashem would take them out. As Rav Moshe Tuvia Leif explains, based on numerous commentaries, Miriam went to the beat of her own drum. When the rest of Klal Yisrael were despondent and her father Amram divorced his wife, not to bring other children into the world, didn't want to be killed by the Egyptians, Miriam was the one who convinced him and all other Jews to remarry their wives and be proactive by having children. The merit of all of these generations that came out of Klal Yisrael were in the zechus of Miriam. Now, some instruments resonate or reverberate by breath, like a flute, a saxophone, something like that, whistle, but a drum has to be banged on. It requires some level of action, and Miriam understood this. Yes, Hashem would have to save them, but everyone was nevertheless required to still be proactive and do their part. There's some lessons to that to today, too. Chazal teach that at the end of the day, when the men were too tired to be intimate with their wives, the Jewish women, who were also very badly abused by the Egyptians and surely also depressed, nevertheless made the effort to beautify themselves to help their husbands achieve the mitzvah of procreation, because they understood the importance of having future doros. The women, or at least certainly Miriam, had amazing bitachon and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, much more so potentially than some of the men. But again, topic for another time. But Miriam and the women with her understood that Hashem would honor his promise to take out Klal Yisrael, as he had promised earlier, promised to Avram, promised to Yosef, and that it would not be only allowed to leave the land of enslavement, but they would leave in grandeur and with abundant miracles, nisim in the flows. They'd be able to truly celebrate. It would be a chag, right? The Chag of Pesach. Now, this word of hatav, hey, tav, hey, is numerically equal to many things, but one of them is zmanei pakod yivkot, the times of pakod yivkot. Hashem promised Yosef, when his family went down to Mitzrayim, that they would be taken out. And this was something which was, again, the specific word. The Midrash, I believe the Midrash, that says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even know that these were the quote-unquote code words, but he said them anyway. He said, "Pakod yivkod, I will surely redeem you," right? Those were ultimately the words that Hashem gave to Moshe. Miriam believed in this wholeheartedly, not just that they would leave Egypt, but that there would be ongoing miracles when this would happen. They would be, in a sense, actually redeemed twice, as we see upon the actual leaving of Mitzrayim and again by the Yom Tov. First, they were saved, taken out All of this from Yetzirah Mitzrayim. They were actually taken out from the land of their slavery and their oppression. And then they had another encounter and they were saved to an even greater degree by the miracles of the Yamsa. And this is how the Torah ends off this portion. Miriam led the vigor of the Jewish people, leading to the birth of so many. So many of these children were in her marriage. Her brother Moshe, and now she led the Jewish women in song, praising Hashem for delivering his promises and by bestowing abundant kindness to the Jewish nation. Now, I'll add another piece to this. Before they crossed the Yamsuf, when Israel arrived there, they obviously have the Egyptians, on their tail, fast approaching, and seemingly trapped, and they cry out. And Moshe stresses that they should not fear, and Hashem will save them. But he says, be silent, watch what Hashem will do. In response, Hashem says to Moshe the words, Matitzakolai, why do you cry out to me? Something which a lot of commentaries talk about. But he instructs Moshe and B'nai Israel that it's not a time to pray, but it's a time to act. Again, concept of acting, and venture forth, and Hashem will do the rest. It's at this point, the famous Midrash tells us that even when they went forth a bit, the sea did not split until Nachshon ben Aminadav led the way. And only when the waters were up to his neck, possibly nose, a demonstration of complete emunah, did Hashem cause the sea to split. Now, what's also intriguing is this phrase of Matitzako, which again, so many commentaries deal with this, wide variety of explanations. The Or HaChaim explains that at this point, the Jewish people didn't really have many merits. Most of their merits were really the merits of their ancestors, and on some level, might not have really been worthy of divine intervention through tefillah. Therefore, Hashem instructed Bnei Israel to achieve this merit by demonstrating emunah in Hashem, which of course they initially did by putting the blood on the doorpost the night of Pesach, but also to venture forth into the sea before it was split. Another idea is Dov Aharon Brisman, in his work, the Be'er Mayim, questions the notion that Bnei Israel or even Moshe was praying because it's actually used in the future sense. It doesn't say, my tzolkimo, it says, my titzakoa. Why will you cry out? Hashem, the seer of all things past, present, and future, knew that Moshe was about to pray on behalf of the Jewish people. He was about to do and beseech Hashem for mercy. But Moshe was saying, Atem tachrishun, you shall be quiet. But Moshe himself was not planning on being quiet. He was planning on praying to his greatest heart's extent to pray for Klal Yisrael. But Hashem replied, no, their prayers are already heard. Hashem says, I've already heard Klal Yisrael's prayers. He heard the suffering of Mitzrayim. He heard their cries now. They've already been answered. All you got to do, just an act. You got to beat on that drum. You got to carry that answer forward. It was not a time to pray because Hashem already heard the prayers. All he had to do was demonstrate emunah and one moment of action. Thus, after the sea split and B'nai Yisrael saw the drowned Egyptians and their prayers had not only been answered, but in such an incredibly miraculous way, the Torah writes, Vayaminu b'Hashem and Moshe Avdo. And they believed in Hashem and Moshe's servant. They believed in Hashem, for he delivered them to safety and performed endless wonders for them. But they also believed in Moshe, because even though Moshe didn't actually pray on their behalf in this case, he was willing to do it to the greatest extent. And he was about to pour his heart out to Fred Hashem to get them to safety. And thus they believed in him too. Sometimes it's just one act, one beat of the drum to show trust, one deed to gain merit, or even one thought to gain favor. May we remember this both when we find ourselves with our back against the wall, but also when we are free and rejoicing. Wishing you all Chag Sameach and a Shabbat Shalom.